Praise God. Well, we want to start a series called Following the Amazing Jesus. I'm happy to be here today. I needed to worship, and you know how in the old days, I don't know if they still do that. I haven't thought of it lately, but you know, you had the carbon buildup on the spark plugs, and we used to get on some road out in the country where there was no policeman, and we would put the pedal all the way down, as they say, pedal to the metal, and just let that carbon burn off of that spark plug. I feel like I did that in worship today. I don't know if there was something building up, and I just kind of burned it out so that I can run on all pistons in the Spirit. Isn't that good? Just to have we're made to worship. We're made to, people worship so much. This is not the message, but I just want to mention this. People use the expressions, the biblical expressions of worship at sporting events, rock concerts. You can read about how King David led us into worship in the Psalms, and you have shouts, and you have the clapping of hands, and you have all kinds of expressions that are the biblical mandate for how you enter God's presence. So the focus is just needs to be changed over to Jesus, and then God's presence begins and comes and abides upon us. That's another amazing thing about Jesus, in that when he's loved wholeheartedly, there's a marvelous response to him, from him to us by the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to look at today and talk about why follow Jesus. And I know most of you probably know this. I jotted down a few things I want to walk through with you as an introduction. But life is an adventure filled with dangers, toils, and snares. Amen? You've heard that before. And you will experience great joys. It's like sitting down with our little granddaughter. You will experience great joys and great sorrows and great losses. You will be put to the test in this adventure called life. You have strengths, you have weaknesses, passions, and problems. How many of you can relate so far? Life is going to come at you in some unpredictable ways. So buckle up. You will place burdens on yourself, and others will place burdens upon you. You will fail, and you will promise to yourself that you won't fail again, and then you will fail again. Without a good understanding of who God is in your life, you will have great questions about why things are the way they are. You will struggle with passions and offenses and breakups and addictions and sin. Buckle up. Some of you on the other end of this go, yeah, you read my mail, you know my life. You will face yourself and either blame yourself, blame others, blame God. Somewhere along the way, you'll be overwhelmed by it all. And you'll make a decision. You'll make a decision to be better or bitter. If you're going to go through life and come out victorious, you need someone who knows you well and understands you and can help you and even empower you. This life is an adventure, everybody say this, with an eternal destiny. That's a big, and no, there's only one person. There's only one person that stands alone in human history that doesn't tell you to try harder. There's just one. He doesn't tell you that. He invites you to come to him. Isn't he wonderful? That's why I love him so much. Jesus is the only person who died for all the sins of all mankind, and he doesn't tell you to try harder to obtain the blessings. Hallelujah. How many of you just feel like you just got the message already? Because you and I are built to try harder, aren't we? To push and grind and grunt and put it on ourselves and keep trying. And the Lord says, come to me and surrender. How many of you figured out there's a little control freak inside of you that wants to be in charge? And getting that little control freak to come to the cross and say, I surrender to you, Jesus. He comes fighting tooth and nail with heel marks and everything. But Jesus comes and he invites you and I to know him. Everybody say, he invites you to know him. Did you know that there was a Jesus way before Christianity? I want to know that guy. How about that? Not to be encumbered by all the burdens and all the things and all the losses and all the failures and things that people call Christianity that really don't have anything to do with what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to start a religion. He came to have a relationship. We want to get back to the amazing Jesus. Feels good and just fresh in the air just to say that. Some of you are going to become unburdened. I felt that this morning in our worship. You're going to become unburdened with having to defend anything to do with Christians or Christianity. I release you from it in the name of Jesus. You don't have to defend anything. Just follow Jesus. Be His today. I feel good. I feel the pleasure of the Lord. I feel the pleasure of the Lord in this place, talking about Jesus this way. Until pain forces a person to look for help, most don't recognize their need for Jesus to save them from their sin and failure. Is that the truth? Isn't pain the great voice that pushes us toward the need, to expose the need before the Lord? Amen? Now, I believe I can preach this message because I'm very familiar with my own personal failure. I'm qualified today. I brought my mess to Jesus on a regular basis. How about you? I can preach the good news because I'm a sinner who Jesus has forgiven. Hallelujah. And I can preach this message today because I need to hear it again. I want to take you on a little journey for a minute, way before we get to the fill-ins on the notes. I'll just talk about Jesus as being a rabbi. Rabbis of the day, the system in the Jewish community was set up. By the age of 5, you had to memorize a certain amount. Isn't it fun? And 5 to 10, memorize. Memorizing the Torah. Memorize, 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 memorize. The Torah is the law of God. And then by 13, you had a whole other section of things. By 18, you had to learn about a whole other section of things. I think that was where they took you to the Song of Solomon and you learned about the bride. Because getting ready for marriage and stuff. Then 20, and there was this all. Now, though, there was in the group of the community, the school, about 5% wanted to go beyond that. And that would be almost like post-doctoral training. Okay? And that's when you had rabbis. Rabbis were, there's the Torah, which is God's instructions written out for man in the Old Testament. You had to memorize a lot. Hey, let me throw this at you. Can you pick up what is wrong here? Listen. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. My will be done. Did anybody pick up the wrong thing there? Okay, let me explain this. The way that, everybody say oral Torah. Oral. Okay, the oral Torah was when the rabbis, when somebody followed a rabbi, they taught the interpretation of the written Torah. Okay? But they were not allowed to write it down. Unlike our culture, it was a memorizing culture. And they could spot if something was off. It was more powerful to have a group memory than it was to write it down, where you could write it down wrong the next time. They saw how scribes could mess up. So they had the oral Torah, the memory, a group memorizing verbatim was much more powerful to tell the stories. Isn't that amazing? And this is the culture that Jesus came up in. So there were rabbis that a student who wanted to go further would go seek out a rabbi and ask if they could follow that rabbi. And it was considered a very difficult life, a hard life, a painful life of learning. Because not only are they going to memorize everything that the rabbi taught, they're going to live on the road, live outside, live wherever. And Mary and Martha in the Bible, they were obedient to the command of the Torah that said, open your homes for the rabbis so they can come and teach. So that was a part of the culture. So you see that being expressed. Jesus steps on the scene and all of this Torah has been memorized. And so when he says certain things, they're like, whoa. First thing Jesus does is he steps up and instead of the students coming to him, he goes to the students. Complete different protocol. He says, come, you who labor and are heavy laden. Then he says something else. He calls it my yoke. A rabbi would never call it mine, because obeying the Torah was not his to say it's his. He would never say it. But Jesus, when he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and I'll give you rest for your souls. There was another thing, the rest for your souls. Everybody in the group knew, had memorized the verses where the rest came from, and only God gave rest. So Jesus began to set himself apart. He talked like he was God, and everybody knew it. Wow. Go ahead and say, well, I'm going to ask you a question. Why follow Jesus? And you say this, because he knows you better than you know yourself. Ready? Why follow Jesus? Go ahead and tell somebody, Jesus knows you better. Go ahead, tell somebody, Jesus knows you better than you know yourself. Because there's going to be some days you're going to need some help and you need somebody who knows you better than you. How many of you have been in a situation and you're just going nuts and finally you realize, I don't really know what I'm supposed to know here? How many of you had husbands and wives catch each other on stuff and you go, I know you a little bit better than this. I know Heather goes, honey, I know you pretty good. How about your kids? You know what their propensities are? Aren't you glad that the Lord knows you better than you know yourself? Let's go ahead and look at the first fill in the blank. Jesus knows and understands, number one, what makes you, you. He understands what makes you, you. As soon as you're finished with that little filling in the blank there, I would like to ask you to read the scripture below that point with me. Ready? Go. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You search out my path and my lying down are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. I remember the day after, well, during that week after I'd come to know the Lord, I remember laying in the bed and heard the birds. In North Carolina, there's a lot of birds that'll just, well, they're around here too, just birds that'll just, in fact, there are birds down in Nicaragua on a missions trip. Right at 5 o'clock, boom, all the birds woke us up. We sat up, like, oh, they just, bah, you know. But it was a jolt. It was like hitting an alarm, and they all took off, and glad they didn't, like, fly in the room and take over. But I noticed the day, that week after I'd come to know the Lord, I laid in my bed, and when I heard the birds, I had a sense, a different sense about the birds, that they were praising the Lord, that they had a creator. And that there was a bond because the Creator had created me and created them. And now that I actually knew the Creator because he initiated a relationship with me and I responded to the relationship. Because I was in need. I didn't come to the Lord out of, I think I'll just come to the Lord. I came to the Lord because my need was expressed to me. And I began to realize I needed a Savior. Jesus talked about that. He talked about the concept, and I think it's Mark 11, he says, forgot the reference, but he talks about a banquet, a person throwing a banquet. He says, go out and get everybody. Get all your friends and fill up the house. And they go out, and the friends say, I have just bought some cattle, I need to check them out. Or such and such, I've got to go and do this. And all the excuses come. So the He says, tell you what, go and get the poor and the lame and the crippled, whatever, get the blind. Go, and they go bring those in. And the house isn't still filled up yet. He says, now go out in the highways and the byways. Find anybody you can. This is amazing that Jesus, I want to just tell you this. Jesus was actually a middle class guy. He had a business. Now, the poor, they were just called the sinners. I'm getting to point number two. Let's go ahead and do point number two. He knows and understands your secrets. The Lord knows and understands your secrets. Your passions that you don't express and the traps and failures that you find yourself in. He knows all that. And getting into this, when he was like a middle class. He wasn't an aristocracy or the Herods that owned all land or the chief priests that had all made money off the temple or the head or the elders that had lands. It wasn't it. He was a down there where he was a tradesman. And then you have the other group, and the group is the poor. When it talks about the crowds and the multitudes in the Bible, he's talking about the group that really didn't have the money to go and be find themselves in a respectable group with the others that would be more financially secure. The real definition of the poor was they were a sense of shame and disgrace. Everybody say that, shame and disgrace. And Jesus was moved with compassion over the poor. In fact, he uses the same word, poor, when he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall obtain, theirs is the kingdom of God. Now, what am I doing here? The Lord, when you come to a place to where you acknowledge your need, that's where you find the Savior. And you can try to go and reach people in the culture, and they don't have a sense of need. Because they're self-made, or they got all they need. But it's not till the pain and the pressure comes on, and I can't figure it out on my own anymore, that seems to be the very perfect fit for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's when you come to acknowledge that you can't pull it off on your own and you need help beyond yourself. That's where the gospel comes in. The Lord knows, he knows you better than you know yourself. And it's a difficult thing to bow your pride, isn't it? And to say, I need help. Even in a group like this, I think Jesus would be more comfortable. Let me get back to the poor thing for a minute. Jesus was so comfortable among those who had ill repute, people who had no standing and no status in the culture at all. For instance, let's say a prostitute wants to amend her ways and come into good standing in the community. So the way to do that would be to take your income and go and purchase an education and learn the Torah and get back into standing with the synagogue. But she couldn't do it because the money was tainted. So she's trapped. And that's the definition of sinner in the culture, the Jewish culture. The others that were even a rung lower were the tax collectors, because they could go to a citizen and say the Romans need, now the Romans need $10, but you can say they need 100. And then you keep 90. And that's why they were the lowest of the lowest in the culture. So they were already rejected right out because they were traitors of the Jewish community, ripping the Jewish community off. And then everybody else that just, like, those, anybody kind of skin conditions that were yelled unclean, just the basic group of, that's this group, this, every time you see crowds or multitudes in the Bible, it's the group of the people that didn't have the good standing. Isn't that something? They already knew they needed something. Hallelujah. And everybody in here, when you come to that moment where you go, I can't do it anymore on my own terms, the Lord already knew it. How many of you have had moments in your life where you kind of come to a place where I cannot do this? I can't do this. I can't pull this off. And there comes a capacity by the Lord to do something in you that you don't have the capabilities to do other than He comes and does it. And you learn of Him in His ways. And He says, I'm going to take that burden of you trying harder all the time to live up to something that you think if you make it, I'll accept you. Guess what? He says, I already accept you. Because of what I've done, not because of what you've done. And that is so diametrically opposed to the way we think. We're hard sinners. We're bound in thinking it's all about what we do instead of surrendering to the one who's done it all. How many of you need forgiveness more than you recognize most of the time? How many of you get in a trap of gutting it out, just trying harder, pushing harder? But if I do this, there are all kinds of little ways that that occurs. Instead of just simple faith and trust in God, thinking if I say it enough the right way, it becomes a works trip. If I pray a certain way, if I do a certain thing, bypassing the relationship altogether. Can I have everybody just, if you want to, three overarching terms for this message is relationship, redemption, and reward. That's another way to put the 3 points, and we haven't got to the third point yet. Have you noticed I'm all over the map anyway? Are you ready for the... Let's look at the point, the scriptures right under your secrets. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is in every way, in every respect, has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And when you're coming to the Lord, He understands what you're facing. He understands the pain. He understands the sense of, look, guys, Jesus was naked on the cross. Do you think He can understand the sense of physical and sexual abuse in some regard? Jesus identifies with the pain of our shame and our disgrace about our life. I want to just let you know this. There's no one else that does that. And the people who do that, who can, believers who follow Jesus, can go into the deep place with somebody and not bring shame on their life. How many of you have shared something with somebody and then they thought you were worse than you were? You went, oh, wrong person. I need to go find somebody who is not full of pride and a hypocrite. Because Jesus would be hanging out with people who just know they have need. So I want to be the first at the line and say, I have no idea how to do what I'm trying to do. And the Lord says, good. Doesn't mean I'm not trying to learn from Him, because He says, come and learn from me and I'll give you rest. How many of you just need the refreshing and renewal of the Lord this season? I want you to come up, Nick. Let's go look at number three. Number three is He knows and understands. Number three, your potential. Go ahead and bring that microphone, if you would. Your potential. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're going to be moving our way toward communion here in a moment, but I wanted to have Nick share something. He stirred me back up in a way that we were talking. You should go ahead and share what you shared about the praying in the Spirit.
Around Pentecost, Pastor was encouraging us to be in a contest.
Yeah,
who could pray in the Spirit the most? And it's weird because, you know, He spoke that to us, and it's so easy to come here every Sunday and you listen, you write some stuff down, you go home and go on with life. And it was probably a month after He spoke about that challenge to say, you know, really be praying in your Spirit more. I was sitting, my life got really hard. Work wasn't going great, marriage wasn't going great, kids weren't going great. And it took all that, you know, to get me to realize that trying harder wasn't going to pull this off. And praying in my Spirit, I don't even have the intellect to know what to pray. Just humbly, praise you, let my Spirit speak to my God and cry out to Him. I started doing all the way to work, most of the days, all the way home, and a lot more at work. And at first, almost like I was bringing things up, at first everything got really worse.
How many of you really?
And then as He was bringing them up, He brought them up to bring them out. Everything, breakthrough in the marriage, breakthrough at work, things that have, I mean, tortured me for 8 months. Like, gosh, how am I going to pull this off at work? How am I going to pull this off at work? How am I going to find this person? I needed to find people. I needed to recruit people. And I couldn't find them. I'm sitting at lunch with someone, and the Holy Spirit's like, them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I never would have thought of calling them. And Jesus just brought things to me. People out of left field emailing me, hey, I want to move back to Morgantown from D.C. I mean, things I could never pull off in my own strength. Guys, this beautiful woman, you know, forgives me and comes back and says, let's press in together. And things you can't pull off in your own strength, you know? So pray in your spirit.
I'm adding this in because how many of you are getting, we're talking about having a relationship with Jesus, and Jesus gives us a capacity to have a relationship with him so much further than what we can in our own mind and own strength. Isn't that right? I'm praying that this will stir you up. Now, we're going to, I've got to hasten here. The reason I brought up this last one about your potential is because you and I will stand before the Lord one day. This verse says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. And most of the time I read that kind of thing, I just get all paranoid. How about you? It's like an exam. Oh, no, everything I've ever done, he's going to... I was with a person, a brother in the Lord, back in January in Dallas, and he was a businessman, very successful businessman, sold his business, has money to live on. His wife is teaches in the body of Christ. They went back to Reno, and he felt the Lord lead him to begin some pastoral ministry because there was some deep needs and some broken things that have happened in people's lives. And he came in the midst of all that and did his best. And when he did his best, nothing ever turned out the way he thought. And he felt like a failure. And he felt like nothing happened according to his assessment of how it should have happened. And I'm sitting there with him, and the Lord speaks to me and says, tell him that he's grading the wrong thing. That I didn't grade what he thought would be success if he obeyed me. I graded, would he obey me? I didn't grade on the basis of results from what he thought would happen. He got an A because he obeyed my voice, regardless of what he considered the results to be. Wow. There's potential. And it's all about obeying, not based on, well, us, our assessment. Isn't that true? For those who are coming to serve communion, come on up. Would you turn over to the back of your notes there? I want you to have a relationship with Jesus. I want you to have a thriving relationship with Jesus. On the back of your notes, this is the exact same verse written in the Message Bible. And he captures the essence of it. Eugene Peterson, he says, are you tired? Worn out? He really hits it right here. Burned out on religion? Guys, you can get burned out just going through things without the life-giving relationship of Jesus in you. Burned out on religion? He says, come to me. Get away with me and I'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Go ahead and pass that out while we're all being served. Everybody hang on to it. Look at these words. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. When Jesus said, my burden is easy, you know, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and the other, the disciples heard that, Jesus, see, everybody knew that following a rabbi was hard. But Jesus was saying it was going to be easy. You know why? Because the other rabbis didn't have the miracle dimension and the excitement of things happening that truly transform people. The other rabbis were going to have lepers being healed and blind eyes being opened and people being raised from the dead. Jesus came to give life. And when you follow him, he says, I want to step into your life with a certain dimension. I was praying with a young couple not too long ago in the ministry. And they came to live in the light. Had a very bad thing happen. A personal failure. And shared it with the congregation. The congregation, a lot of them left. It was a deep wound. Because they're struggling to live their life in the Lord. And they said, well, do you counsel pastors? I can't explain this. I have no way to explain this except it's just God. What happens is I'm sitting there and I feel the anointing coming out of me. I don't even kind of explain it. The anointing comes out, and people start crying, and the Lord tells me what's happening. He says, guilt and shame and condemnation are being lifted off of you. And your personal failure, you have the way you brought it to the Lord, because of the reaction of people, there was this sense of rejection. The Lord says, I don't grade that way. I grade on the honesty of your heart in coming to me. And he released the burden. That's who we serve. We serve a God who says, if you'll be honest, how many people are just absolutely afraid that if people find out this deep thing I need to confess, they're going to hate me. Well, let me just go ahead and explain to you. I'm not. I couldn't imagine doing that. I'm serious. Because I brought my deep thing to a pastor and he didn't reject me. And he set the high water mark in my soul. This is how Jesus does it. When you're totally wrecked and you cannot find your way out, and you come to a person and you pour, I'm talking about like a pastor that represents the real Jesus Christ, then you're never going to be cast out. How many of you have had to have something come out of you and it's got to get out? And somebody just needs to stand there and represent the pure grace of Jesus to allow that to happen. That's why I'm in the ministry. That's the reason I'm in the ministry. That's the reason we're in the ministry. That's the reason we're all in the ministry. Isn't that true? And it's because of one person. One person that said, I felt it all. And every time I talk about Jesus, I have something else to say. Are you like that? Let's lift the bread. Praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you for being the provider of forgiveness. We bless you for being the provider of new life. And in today, in the spirit of what we're doing today, I pray that burdens be lifted. That you put the shame on your body. You put the burden on you, and you went to the cross and you broke the power of shame. Broke the power of guilt. Broke the power of condemnation just by going through what you did. And we receive that today. That those things be lifted from this place. And there will be a great peace where there wasn't peace before. Because of Jesus. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. Would you lift the cup? I know we're probably about 2 minutes past when we normally let out. And I would like to ask you just for a moment. Imagine Jesus sitting right there next to you and saying something to you. Would you close your eyes just for a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to whisper to your heart what Jesus would say in this moment? I can guarantee He'll say something nice. Usually when we inquire of the Lord, to soften our hearts to hear something very precious, very gentle, very subtle shows up. One of the first reactions in your mind is you think you made it up. But if you recount your history, most of the time you're not that nice to you. And Jesus is a whole lot nicer to us than we are to ourselves. He'll come along and say things like, very simply, I want you to know I love you. And for some reason, you're caught off guard. And your heart just melts. In the midst of an environment where God's love is felt. How many of you hear stuff like, you're forgiven? If you're burdened with something, forgiveness is everything. If you don't feel like you've been hitting on all pistons and the Lord says to you, I've got you covered, honey. It might be the way I feel going through a long season, anticipating like a pregnant woman to work with the Lord. And the Lord just comes and says, you're right on track. As we waddle forward. Everybody has individual needs. I can't imagine this most amazing Jesus, how we would speak to each individual. Sometimes it might just be a sense of peace just breaks over the soul. And you feel closer to Him than you ever have. And you know that everything is going to be okay just for the sheer presence of God that's manifest. I can't help but feel that there's some bit of weight of, I don't know if it's shame, but something like that just being washed away. You. So let's lift up your cups. Whatever Jesus said to you, I'll drink to that. In the name of Jesus, we receive the power of the forgiving God, the great love of who He is, and the power to forgive. Amen? Let's receive. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.